All right, John chapter 4, we'll look down at verse 20, and from verse 20 we'll read down to verse 24. John chapter 4 and verse number 20. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain, nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. The hour cometh, and now is, when the, now notice this phrase, true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, in our time, in our day and age, there is some discussion, some arguing about worship. People have worship service, worship leaders, worship teams, worship music, all these different ideas about worship. And sometimes because of our rejection of that group, we almost reject the whole idea of worship. We just say, well, then we don't even believe in worship. We'll teach you a lesson. We've got to be careful about that, because that's not the way we look at it. Those type of knee-jerk reactions are usually not good. So what we want to do is this. We don't want to necessarily look at them and say, well, we'll go opposite. What we want to do is go to the Word of God and say, here's what we'll follow. And where other people line up, we're happy for them. And where they don't line up, then we just stay with the Word of God. And so we're not trying to be different for the sake of difference. And we're not trying to be contrary just to be contrary. We want to be biblical. And some folks, even though they don't believe everything that we believe, they may have some differences, but some of the things they believe is biblical. Some of the things they believe are biblical. Get proper English in there. And so we're not fussing with them just to fuss with them, but we want to be do what the Bible says. So we could ask a couple of questions, and we're going to answer these at the end of the lesson, at least to some extent. So we could ask a couple of questions this morning. What does it mean to worship God? Different people have different ideas about it. Some people think that you come, you light some candles and chant some prayers, and therefore we had a worship service. Others, you know, the music will be blasting, the lights are turned down low, people are jumping up and down, I got the Spirit, I got the Spirit, and they're jumping, the music's pouncing, and they went home and said, we worship the Lord. What does it mean to worship God? So here's another question that kind of leads us into where we're going. Is worship the same for everyone? Or can you worship God in your own way? That's probably the biggest argument that goes on. They worship God their way, we worship God our way. As long as we're worshiping God, what does it matter? Which brings us to this question. Is there a right worship and a wrong worship? That's interesting. Which will bring us to the last question. Does the Lord care how you worship Him? Is the Lord simply saying, as long as you worship me, whatever floats your boat, I'm happy with, as long as you're worshiping me? Or the Lord, does He have a desired way to be worshipped? Because it's really what it goes back to. Do we determine how we worship Him? Or does He determine how we worship Him? And that's what we need to look at and understand. So we're going to come back to John 4. And there's several things I think we can conclude and understand about worship just from our text. We'll look at some other verses along the way. We'll look at this idea of true worship. Now, when we think about church, which is what this series is about, believe and belong, I think we need to understand, where does worship fit in a church service? How does worship fit in on this? And so we're going to look at several things this morning. First thing I want you to notice, you go back with me to John chapter 4. Here's the first thing I want you to notice this morning is this. It is biblical to worship God. So we have to understand that to start with. John chapter 4, look with me at verse 23. It says this, But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father, notice this, seeketh such to do what? Is the Lord desiring to be worshipped? Yes, He is. Look at verse 24. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So just from those two verses, let me ask you, is it a biblical thing to worship God?
Yes.
Yes. The Lord desires worship. He desires people to worship Him. So we could say this, I think, understanding this. Not only is it biblical, but the Lord wants us to worship Him. Now, at this point in time, I don't think we'd have a lot of division or a lot of disagreement, but I think it's an important place to start, that it is a right thing, a biblical thing to worship God. And the Lord wants to be worshipped. Now, why is that important? Well, if it's biblical and the Lord wants it, that means this, then I need to know how to do it. You understand where I'm coming from? If it is in the Bible and the Lord desires it, then we need to say, well, then how do we do this? Do we just follow what everyone else is doing, or do we go to the Word of God and say, well, He wants it, He desires it, now what does He want about it? Well, that brings us to our second thought. Again, if you go with me back to chapter 4, look at verse 21. Here's a second thought we'd understand, and that is this: it is possible to think you are worshiping God when you are not. Well, how do we know that? Well, go back, look at our text again, look at verse 21. Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father." Now notice what He says in verse 22. "Ye worship, you know not what." We know what we worship. "For salvation is of the Jews." Does that sound like He's speaking good or bad of what they're doing? Basically, you don't know what you're doing. You're going through these motions. You really don't know what you're doing. And so it is possible. I want you to think about that, because we could apply this in many ways in our Christian life. It is possible you're going through all these motions, thinking that you're pleasing the Lord, thinking that you're doing it for the Lord, and the Lord in heaven is saying, "Nah, it's not. I'm getting nothing out of it. It's not what I want. It's not what I desire." And so we have to understand, it's possible to think you're worshiping God when you're not even worshiping Him. Now, what does that mean then for us? Well, not all worship then is true worship. Just because they call it worship doesn't make it worship. And they say, "Well, this is our worship music." Doesn't mean that it's worship music. And they say, "Well, this is our worship service." That doesn't mean there's any worship going on in that service. So I think it's important to understand, just because you call it worship doesn't make it worship. So it's possible you're worshiping God, think you're worshiping God, when you're not. Not all worship is true worship. You go back again, notice what He says in verse 23, "But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers," notice He's making a distinction here, people are really doing it, the true worshipers. Now, that means, to me, there are some things that are called worship that are not worship. So then what is true worship? Now, this kind of leads us now to our next couple points. Now, listen to this. And we're going to use some verses to explain this. True worship is the worship that God wants and God accepts. If God does not want it, is it true worship? No. If God doesn't accept it, is it true worship? So is it possible, I want you to think with me now, is it possible to go to a church service, have a complete worship service, and the Lord get nothing out of it? Now, I want you to think about that. Because church service isn't simply what you get out of it. Did you ever think about that? You ever think about sometimes our church? What did God get out of it? We were here for an hour or two. What did God get out of this? Well, I left and, man, I felt good and I felt encouraged. And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, you don't have to feel bad in order to serve God. It's not like, well, if I don't feel bad, I must not be doing right. We're not saying that, okay? We're not trying to get you to think that way. But we have to stop and say, just because I'm excited, just because I'm my hands are waving and I'm jumping and everything, that doesn't mean God in heaven is excited about it. So we got to stop and say, what does the Lord want? What does the Lord desire? What does the Lord accept? Now, can you think, now, if you've been in, we talked about this before, and I'm sure you already know where I'm going. Can you think of any story in the Bible where people worship God and God had no desire, no acceptance of it? I think of two real easy. Genesis chapter, what's that? That's my second one. My first one is Cain. Genesis 4. Look at this together with me. "And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought the firstlings of his flock." So let's stop, let's back up. There's two men here, Abel and Cain, and they're both bringing an offering to the Lord. That's a part of their worship. Okay, this is Old Testament. This is a little different. We don't necessarily have a burning altar here bringing forth offerings, but they did, and that was part of their worship. Are they both bringing an offering?
Yeah.
Are they both bringing them to the Lord?
Yes.
And they both could have said, well, you, and Abel could have said, here's how I worship God. And Cain could have said, well, here's how I worship God. And that's kind of the thought. But look at verse 4. And Abel, he also brought the first things of his flock and the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. Was the Lord pleased with Abel?
Yes.
So did he accept Abel's worship?
Yes.
Now look at the next verse, verse 5. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And you know the story. He ends up killing his brother because he doesn't make things right. He wants to worship God his way, and he's not going to change. And the Lord was not happy. The Lord's not accepting this. So if you get nothing else out of this, understand, it is, just because it's called worship, does not make it worship. Okay, now we can fuss about what is worship or what isn't worship, but we have to start with saying not everything is worship. There is a biblical worship, and there are things you can do. Now listen, is he making an offering to Satan?
No.
Is he saying, I'm going to worship the boogeyman? Is that what he's saying? He's saying, I'm going to do something for God. And God's saying, no, you're not, because I'm not accepting that. And so not all things that we do for the Lord accepts. So we have to do it the Lord's way. Now that brings us then to Brother Gassler's illustration, which is Nadab and Abihu. Leviticus chapter 10. Nadab and Abihu. Now these just aren't any blokes. They're the sons of Aaron. What does that make them?
Priests.
They knew better. They knew what the Lord wanted, but they're not doing it. Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer. Now, a censer basically, we're going to simplify. It was basically a pole with a thing on top, and they would put hot coals and dump the smelly stuff, and they would offer this. It's a little more nicer than that, but anyways, they would offer it. And when the aroma went up, that was like the prayers of God's people, and it was offering this to the Lord. That was the idea. The good smelling stuff was being offered to the Lord. Now, the fire had to come from the brazen altar. Okay, not the brazen altar. The brazen altar. That was the golden altar. They had to come from where all the sacrifices were. That's where the fire had to come from. And the smelling stuff had to be made in a certain way and by certain ingredients and all that. What they did is this. You look at this. Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon. So they put the right smelly stuff on it and they put some fire. But notice what it says. And offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. Instead of getting the fire from over here from this altar, and we don't have time to explain why it had to be this fire, but it had to be that fire. They went over here and maybe saw some fire and just said, okay, well, we don't got time to go there. We'll just put the fire and light this and we'll offer it to the Lord. Were they worshiping God?
Yes.
These are priests. Okay, well, that's their intention. I know they weren't, but that was their intention. Okay, their intention was to worship God. Are these evil, wicked men? These are priests. These are the sons of Aaron. These are the men who were committed. I mean, they had a life commitment to honor the Lord, but they weren't doing it the way the Lord wanted. And what's the outcome? Look at verse 2. And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they what? Was the Lord happy with what they were doing? He was not accepting of it. And so we have to make sure we understand this, that there are things that people call worship the Lord does not want, the Lord does not desire, the Lord rejects. And so it is possible to think then you're worshiping God when you are not. Let's go a little bit further. I want you to notice with me then, back to John chapter 4, we'll notice this. God wants worship that comes from our spirit. Now how do we know that? Go back to John 4. Look again at verse 24. The Bible says this, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And so God wants worship that comes from our spirit. Now what does that mean? Well, the first thing it means this, you have to have spiritual life to worship God. Now, the Lord loves everyone, does he not? But worship, bringing worship to the Lord can only happen if you have spiritual life. Now, what does that mean? Can lost people worship God? No, they cannot, because it's done in the spirit. And so we have to understand that. So it's a spiritual thing. You have to have spiritual life to worship God. We know that. We see some verses here real quickly. John 3:6 says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit, talking about the Holy Spirit, is spirit. So your spirit is born again when you're saved. Philippians 3:3 says this, For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Now, this is simplistic, but we're going to build on it in just a second. You have to have spiritual life in order to worship God in the Spirit. That means this: the unsaved cannot worship God because they don't have spiritual life. They're dead spiritually. And only thing an unsaved person can do is worship God in the flesh. And God says, I don't want worship in the flesh. I want worship in the Spirit. Let me ask you this. Can a lost person worship God in the flesh? Can a lost person worship God in the flesh? Okay, but is that what God wants?
No.
Okay, sorry, I think I tricked you there. So that worship is rejected. So here is a saved person. Can he worship God in the Spirit? Will God accept that?
Yes.
But what if a saved person tries to worship God in the flesh? Would the Lord accept that?
No.
And that's a problem with a lot of things people call worship. Let me just say this. If your worship music is no different than the bar music, the disco music, the dance hall music, the club music, if that music is no different than what they're doing in the world, why do you think the Lord would want that? Let me just ask you, why would the Lord want the things done in the flesh? If that music has that driving rock beat, where people are, you know, they're bouncing, they're doing all this, and whether they're in church doing all this, or whether they're in the club doing all this, it's the same music, is it not? And what he's saying is, I'm not looking for the flesh to bring me praise. He wants things done in the Spirit. There's a different music. There's a different a reaction. And so we need to worship God in the Spirit, not in the flesh. Which brings us to this idea here. That true worship occurs through the spiritual life of saved people. The spiritual life. Not just saved people. Sometimes you say, well, God, you have to be saved. That's true. That's the first criteria. But as a saved person, you still have to worship God in the Spirit. Not in the flesh. Let's go back again to John 4. Let's look at it. Now we're trying to just take it step by step and trying to come up to just let the Scripture speak. We understood this. It is biblical. We understood this, that it is possible to have what you call worship not to be worship. And we see that whatever that true worship is, it's going to be in the Spirit and not in the flesh. And then that brings us to the fourth thing, which is this. That true worship, this worship that the Lord accepts, involves truth. Well, how do we know that? Look with me at verse 24. God is a Spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in what? Truth. So truth is involved in this worship. So true biblical worship is always... Now let me slow down here because I think I have, two more things to give to you? Let me slow down just a little bit because this gets to the crux of it. Now here's what we've done so far. We said, does God want worship? Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes. Is it possible to do something that you call worship and not to be worship? Yeah. Can a lost person have true worship to the Lord in the flesh? Can a saved person have true worship to the Lord in the flesh? No, it must be in the Spirit. Now, whatever this worship is, this true worship in the Spirit is going to involve truth. It's always connected back to biblical truth. So let me give you a couple more verses about this. In John 6, and in verse... Sounds like almost like Darth Vader or something. He's looking for the Death Star to come or something. John 6:63 says this: it is the Spirit that quickeneth, that makes alive. Notice what he says next: the flesh profiteth what?
Nothing.
Nothing. Then he says, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Now, if worship occurs in the Spirit, and these words that we're talking about, the Word of God, the truth of the Word of God, that's what speaks to our spirit. That's what enables our spirit. That's what feeds our spirit. And so, true worship involves truth. Well, how do we know where truth comes from? Well, John 17:17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is what? So if I'm going to worship God in truth, this has got to be involved right here. If you have a whole service and the Bible's never opened, the Bible's never preached, the Bible's never pointed to, the Bible's never lifted up, can you have true worship? No. True worship isn't simply a music with a driving beat that gets people to dance. That's not true worship. True worship isn't walking out feeling good about yourself. True worship involves the truth of God's Word. Now, let me say it this way, and then we're going to look at another verse and try to be a little bit more specific. Worship is only as true as the truth on which it is based. I want you to think about that statement. Worship is only as true, being true worship, as the truth upon which that worship is based. It's only as true as the truth. If you remove the truth, there is no true worship. All right. So we got one more way, but now we're going to turn with me to another place. We looked at this before, Genesis chapter number 22. As you study the Bible, there's several things you can do to help yourself so you don't go off in weird beliefs. Number one, stay within the context of God's Word. Now, one of the dangerous things we do is this. Here's 20 verses here. We take one verse out of the middle and say, well, here's what I believe. But we say, well, you ever think about, what about the other 19 verses? I mean, you might want to stop and say, well, these verses all around this verse might mean something. So I've got to put this back in here and say, okay, in the context of what God is saying, what does that mean? That's the number one. Number two, and there's another. This is just a rule of thumb of Bible study. And I've heard me tell you before, it's called the rule of first mention. Typically, the first place or the first time God mentions something usually has something significant. Usually. I'm not going to guarantee that every time, but typically, most of the time, when it's first mentioned, it has something significant. That's just the way the Bible is laid out. It's called the law, the rule of first mention. And when you come to Genesis 22, what you find here is the very first mention of the idea of worship. And that's important because it kind of gives us an understanding what is going on in this idea of worship. In Genesis 22, we're going to read the verses. I'm going to go back and explain some things about worship. Look with me at verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him, Isaac, offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and what? Worship and come again to you. And what's interesting, he said he's going to go worship. What did God tell him to do? Go do what? Go sacrifice his son. But he called it what? He called it worship. That's interesting. So we'll go back for a moment. I want you to notice a couple things. So we've tried to say, well, you know, here's kind of the overarching idea of worship. Now we're going to look more specifically about worship. Several things we can look at. The first thing here is this. I guess I'll give you the big point before I give you the subpoints. That helps usually. So true worship occurs when God's people respond to God's truth. Now I read the verses to you, and now I can give you the subpoints. Ready? Here's the first thing we notice. Look at verse 1. It came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. And Abraham said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. So the first thing we understand is this, that worship was, based on this context, is, should be in our life, worship was directed to God. Whatever's going on here, that worship is being geared or directed to the Lord. Now, if you look at verse 5, notice what he says here. And Abraham said to his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship. And, notice what he says at the end, come again to you. Let's stop for just a moment. We've got a couple minutes here. Abraham is told to take Isaac and do what? Sacrifice him. Now, what did that mean? He was supposed to do what? Kill him. Is that what God told him to do? Now, we're on the other side of it, and we know that it all came out all right, but Abraham's on that side of it, and he doesn't know how it's going to turn out. So he says, me and the lad, we're going to go there, we're going to worship God, and then he said, and we're going to do what? And we're going to come back. Me and the lad's coming back. But what did he tell him to do to the lad? Kill him. But he believed by faith that him and the lad... Now, the reason is because God had promised through Isaac would the seed be would continue. The seed of Abraham would continue through Isaac. So he believed by faith that somehow God was going to do this. So whatever worship is, it's directed to God. And here's the second thing. Worship was a matter of faith. Worship isn't the excitement. Worship isn't the feeling. Worship isn't the enthusiasm. Worship goes back to our faith. Something we're trusting. Something we're believing. So worship was a matter of faith. He said, me and the lad will go, and we will come again. Then look with me at verse 6. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and took the fire in his hand and the knife, and they went both of them together. So here's the third thing about worship. Worship involved action or service. This worship wasn't going to happen unless they did something. Important concept. Worship isn't simply sitting there and letting the atmosphere lift you up. Worship involves you doing something. Worship involved action or service. Then go with me to verse 3, still in chapter 22. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood. And then it says at the end, and went into the place of which the Lord had told him. So here's the fourth thing we understand about worship. Worship required obedience. Okay, this is the first mention of worship. It's directed to God. There's faith involved. There's service involved. There's obedience involved. And then we come to the last thing. Go back again to verse 2. He said, the Lord said, take now thy son, thy only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee in the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. So the last thing is this. Worship was in response to God's directive. Just something. It wasn't that one day Abraham got up and said, hey, let's go worship God. He said, no, here's what the Lord has said. Here's what we're going to do. And the Lord called this thing worship. So what does that mean then? Well, it means this. Okay. I thought I missed a spot, but I didn't. It means this. I'm going to give it to you in six questions. And then the last question kind of tells us what worship is. Ready? So if someone comes to you and they say, well, you know, do you guys have worship service? Or what do you guys do for worship? So let's see if we can answer some questions together. Ready? Is it biblical to worship God? What would the answer be? So someone comes up to you and they say, hey, Russ Cortez, is it biblical to worship God? The answer is what? Yes, it is biblical. It is a right thing. The Lord wants to be worshipped. So we can say from the Bible, yes, it is right and proper to worship God. So what about the next question? Is everything that people call worship, is it worship? Can we ask you, can you do what you want and just take a big old rubber stamp and hit worship? It's worship now. Worship for one, maybe we're going to run 10 times around the circle, the whole auditorium, we're going to wave our hands and shout, God is good. And that's how I think worship is. Does that make it worship because I call it worship? No. Worship is not worship because you call it worship. Worship is what the Lord desires, what the Lord wants. So, is everything called worship actually worship? No. We see that from the Samaritan woman. Now what they're going to do is, you say, well, not everything's worship. And they're going to say, well, why is your worship worship? My worship isn't. And the answer is because God has a desired way to be worshipped. We know that from the Samaritan woman, correct? We know that from Cain and Abel, correct? We know that from Nadab and Abihu. Not everyone who does what they say they're calling worship is worship. So here's the third question. Can lost people offer God the worship he wants? No, he cannot. So if you're talking to a lost person and they talk about worship, let me tell you what the best thing to do is. Let me tell you how to worship God. The Bible says, number one, we're all sinners. The Bible says because of sin, we're going to end up in hell. The Bible says that Jesus died for your sins. The Bible tells us that God wants to save you right now. Now, until they understand that, there's no reason to talk about worship. Fourth question. Can save people then, now that I'm saved, can I worship God any way I want? No. And we covered that. So then number five is this. Is there worship that God does not want? I want you to think about that question. There are things that God says, I do not want you to do that. So we just can't have a service and say, well, what do you think we ought to do in church? Well, what do you think we ought to do? Well, and because most of the people want a church service this way, then that's how we have a church service. That's not how you do it. You don't just say, well, this is what our people want. This is what they're used to. This is what they're accustomed to. You go to the Word of God and say, what does the Lord want? So that brings us to number six. Then what then is true biblical worship? Because we've kind of walked around this thing, it seems like, but we've never really hit it. So let's see if we can hit it right here. Ready? True biblical worship is this: the presenting, receiving, and obeying of truth. You know what worship is? Worship is when someone stands up and says, this is the Word of God. And here's what the Bible teaches, and here's what the Bible says, and they present truth to you. And then you sit there and you're prepared, you're awake, you've had your 10 cups of coffee or whatever, and you're listening, and you're receiving the truth, and you're putting your confidence in the truth, and then you obey it. Now, listen to what I'm about to say. If truth is preached, and truth is heard, and truth is not obeyed, there's no worship going on. The Lord is not happy just because truth is preached. The Lord's not happy just because people sit there and their hands are folded in their lap, and they're listening, and their eyes are focused in. I mean, that's good. I appreciate that, but that's not worship. Worship is when people take it and say, you know what, I'm going to go home and live this thing. I'm going to put it in practice in my life. Preacher preaches about soul winning, I'm going to go soul winning. Preacher preaches about praying, I'm going to pray. Preacher preaches about reading the Bible, I'm going to read the Bible. Preacher preaches about forgiving, I'm going to be a forgiving person. That's how you worship. That's what honors Him. That's what pleases Him. The Lord is pleased when His people receive His truth and put it in practice in His life. That shows His position in your life. That shows His priority in your life. And that shows your love for Him. And the Lord calls that, guess what He calls it? Worship. That's what He calls worship. That's the sweet-smelling savor. That's what He looks at and honors and shows respect to. That's what pleases Him. The presenting, receiving, and obeying of truth.